I'm glad to be here, and that's one of the reasons I'm glad to be here. But the biggest reason I'm glad to be here is because these wonderful folks from the USDA and the National Cotton Council, some of the greatest minds and scientists that we've got working for our effort, for our team, to try to develop more uses for cotton. And that's what I'm all about. I've been, was mentioned, I've been in this industry since 1971. I was just a mere babe when I did that, too. But so I'd like to tell you a little bit about what we're doing today. And I want to, you've had a good history lesson with Steve, and you've seen the plight of some of these mattress manufacturers and what they're having to cope with this regulation. Jeanette did a good job presenting all that. And so I'm going to kind of just recap what they've said. They've taken all of my thunder. But in the early 1970s, the federal government developed a standard, CFR 1632. You've heard that preached. This standard was a smolder ignition standard. It was they placed about 32 cigarettes, I don't know if that's where the 32 came from, on the top of a mattress. And they said, okay, these cigarettes, you light them, and they use Pall Mall. They can't even find the cigarettes now to do the test because they quit making Pall Malls. That's pretty good. People are beginning to not smoke. So they put these cigarettes on top of this mattress, and if it charred an inch out from the ash of the cigarette, it was considered a failure. So that test, the reason they did that is at that time, there are around about 1,000 deaths a year attributable to mattress fires in the home. The mattress has been identified by NAFSM, the National Association of State Fire Marshals, as being the largest fuel source, believe it or not, in your home. Largest fuel source. And if you've ever seen a mattress that's unprotected burn, you have no problem believing that because it's the truth. Second largest source is carpet that's on the floor. Third comes furniture. So they're looking at all three of those. The CPSC, they've got all of these things in their sights. But they developed this thing to try to save those 1,000 deaths a year that were attributable to mattress fires. They did that. They were successful. But it got down to about 300 deaths a year. And they said, wow, we can't seem to stop that. They started looking at the research. They had the fire marshals were gathering data when they would go in and investigate a fire. And they said, okay, it's not cigarettes that are causing the fires now. What's happening is you're having children that are playing with lighters, and where do they go to play with a lighter? They'll get off in a remote bedroom. They'll crouch down behind the bed. The next thing you know, you got a fire. And where does it start? Right there with the mattress. So that's why they developed this 1633 regulation. They said, okay, we need to save those other 250 to 300 deaths a year. And Jeanette mentioned that 1,100 injuries a year. Some of those injuries, I don't know if you've ever seen some of those poor people that are injured by household fires, but they're maimed for life. It's terrible. So it's a worthy cause. We have an opportunity to be a good citizen of the community, and that's what our company has predicated our work on. When this regulation came into being in the early 1970s, polyester and polyurethane foam, I heard a guy once say that the guy, Steve had him up here, the guy that invented polyurethane foam sure did a good day's work, and he did, because that product is really hard for cotton to compete with as a filling material inside the mattress. Cotton likes to lay down and parallel those fibers, and like Steve said, it migrates with use. Polyurethane foam, whether it's got 10 years use on it or not, if you're not lying down on it, it has a nice smooth surface on that mattress, and the housewife says, oh, look how nice that mattress is. Cotton doesn't do that. So it's hard for cotton to compete with polyurethane foam. So polyurethane foam and polyester had an easy time passing this smolder test. Why? Because it simply melted away from the cigarette and did not ignite. It would just melt right away. You put a match to it, and it, as Steve said, it's like gasoline. So there was basically an uneven playing field created for cotton. Cotton lost a lot of market share from the early 70s through 2003, a lot of market share. Cotton was used by all of these four majors you're talking about. They used cotton in every mattress they made until the standard came into play, and they slowly but surely migrated away from it. and went to polyurethane and polyester. So cotton lost a lot of market share. So when the new regulation came into being in early, or actually late 2003, there was one national manufacturer that says, we want to be the first to market with fire safe beds. And I'm happy to say that we were a part of that. They used cotton to market their 5 million or so beds that were fire safe that year. And I'm not going to drop any names, but that was Serta. and they still use a lot of cotton, so Serta's a good bed. To date, we've done a lot of work, looked at a lot of different ways to fire retard cotton and make a better barrier for these mattress guys. But you know what? We still use some of the technology, thank you very much, that was developed at the USDA lab in New Orleans back in the late 60s and early 70s. We're still using a lot of that technology. We've changed it around some, but we're still using that same technology. So having given that little introductory spiel, I'd like to talk about where we're putting shoe leather on pavement with this regulation. Talk about the historical use, the attributes of cotton, and the technologies that we've incorporated with cotton. Cotton, as Steve said very eloquently, cotton's been used as a cushioning material in innerspring and upholstery applications for decades, many decades, centuries, I guess. And so it's got the kind of attributes that people like. This is a furniture manufacturer down in Mississippi, and they use cotton, and you see this is our thermally bonded cotton. I'll talk about this a little bit later. We use some polyester in the cotton to glue it together. But in order for them to cut it and use it like this, it has to hold together. It has to be entangled some way, and if you mechanically entangle it by needle punching it, it loses its resiliency. It becomes a flat product. So we use low melt fiber to glue it together, run it through ovens, and they buy it in rolls, cut their patterns, and then they put it on chairs just like this right here. That's a nice big piece of cotton on that chair right there. So that's one of the markets. And why do they use cotton? Comfort value. You heard some talks earlier this morning about the thermal physical properties of cotton, the fact that it has the ability to breathe, retains moisture, gives off moisture. And I'm sure that you can speak to that much more than I can. I barely got out of high school chemistry. It's a natural product. It's sustainable. It's green. This is where our company is putting a lot of effort right now in our marketing, sustainable and green. I'm glad to hear you talk about that, because we've put ads in a lot of trade publications that tout that as well. It's environmentally friendly. So it's got all the attributes that it really needs to be a big player in today's market. So it's all there in cotton. I messed that one up. Cotton has a very low LOI. Now, everybody in here probably knows what an LOI is. That's a limited oxygen index. The reason I want to belabor this point just a little bit, cotton, untreated cotton, doesn't really flame when it's in a densified form. It smolders. It doesn't take much oxygen for it to smolder. Now, that's not a good measurement for cotton. It really doesn't indicate that cotton is bad. If you have a high LOI, that means your product is better. But cotton naturally smolders, and it can smolder for long periods of time before it totally exhausts the fuel. It's a natural char former. It's a natural insulator. There are applications in this country where people are using cotton mill byproducts, and they're making cotton insulation out of them, going in homes. Fire-resistant cotton. Properly treated cotton performs very well as a barrier. It smolders. It doesn't burn. In open flame scenarios, it's today's technology delivers a product that performs and retains flame-resistant properties indefinitely. You were talking about durable as one of the things you're looking at. One of the studies that we had to do, and we did the study, the National Cotton Batting Institute did the study, and one of our competitors did the study on topically treated rayon. And that was, we had to exhibit to the CPSC that cotton, when it was used in a system to create a barrier for a mattress, even though we use boron technology, we use boric acid, it's topically applied, the boric acid is water soluble. But we, our argument was, if you wash a mattress enough, you're going to render it useless if you flush it with that much water. So we did a couple of different procedures, and I won't go through the protocol, to prove that wetting a mattress, such as a child wetting on a mattress, would not render the product unsafe. And the conclusion was that while the boric acid is water soluble, it stayed within the mattress, and it didn't migrate away that much. So we proved that by burning the mattresses after the test, and they performed very well. One of the things that we did in 1998, we said, okay, we were cotton batting manufacturers. We were producing about 20 million pounds a year of cotton batting, going into furniture and going into mattresses. Cotton batting, one of the kicks against cotton batting, and Steve used to be a competitor of mine, and he kicked it a lot. But one of the kicks against it was it would fall apart. It wouldn't hold together. It did not have the tenacity, no tensile strength. So we looked at the technologies out there that were being applied to man-made fibers, and we said if you can thermally bond polyester, we can thermally bond cotton. And we put our first oven in 1998. Today we've got four locations across the country, from East Tennessee to Nevada. And we run about 60 million pounds of thermally bonded cotton fiber, not virgin cotton, but cotton fiber a year. It's clean. You don't have the chaff, the waste coming out of it like with cotton batting. It's durable. It's resistant. This is a step toward competing with foam because you've got more resiliency when you've got it bonded. It's the ease of use in production. You saw a while ago on the recliner, the guy was picking the piece up. It doesn't fall apart, and it's easy to cut. It staples well and stays in place in furniture applications. This is a picture of one of our lines. This is 90-inch wide rolls, and we produce two of those rolls at a time. The line is 5 meters wide, so there's a lot of capacity just on one line. What is Federal Standard 1633? I can probably skip this. Jeanette's already told you guys all about it. But I'll hit some of the high spots. One of the things that we did, we realized pretty quickly that a lot of these mattress guys didn't have a clue how they're going to make this standard. So we said, okay, we'll give you something that'll show you what you got to do. So what we did is we said, okay, after we did our research in the lab and determined that we could build a mattress that would pass this protocol, we said, this is what you got to do. And not only do we want to sell you the barrier that's on the side, and on the top, and the bottom, we want to sell you some FR components inside. And we have a patent for compartmentalization of combustibles inside the mattresses. They use insulator pads against these spring units that you use to sell steel. And these insulator pads, if they're made fire safe, you can stack down on them. Well, if you get a breach during this test, if you get a breach in this border, and you get a flame inside this mattress, and guess what? If you don't have an FR safe insulator in there, you're going to be in there with those combustibles, and you can fail that test. And what we determined is if you've got an FR pad inside there on top of that spring unit that's basically got that foam encapsulated with a barrier on the top side and an FR insulator pad on the inner spring unit, you've got it compartmentalized, and you've bought yourself about 10 more minutes. And like Jeanette said, it's a 30-minute test. You can't get over 200 kilowatts. This is insurance. So we sell a lot of FR insulator pads for this compartmentalization idea. This is just a real mattress. You can see a big slab of foam. This guy's not using an FR insulator pad. But this area up here, he's got a barrier underneath some polyester. This is what they call the panel. Of course, his borders. He's got the, again, put the border on there. That's the top of the border. Will go right here, and it's got a barrier in it as well. Just another shot of that. You can see a little more closely. So you've got, this is your ticking, and then you've got a layer of polyester, and then this is our barrier just underneath the polyester. You can't, we found out through our work in the lab, you can't put polyurethane foam on top of our cotton and expect it to perform. Polyurethane foam does something weird. It just burns right through the cotton. But you can put, we've got people that put up to an ounce and a half of cotton, ounce and a half of polyester, I'm not saying that ounce and a half square foot, polyester on top of an ounce of our cotton.
This and is your applied barrier, and over it you put plain polyester, or is it applied?
Plain polyester on top of it, dude. And this is a panel. This will be sewn to the, it'll have the border around the side, it'll be laid on top of the spring in, and it'll all be sewn together. And this is what the finished product looks like. This is the panel that you just saw, and then of course these are borders. Notice this thread. They use an Aramid thread. I guess it's an Aramid fiber, Steve. It's
So they have hard thread.
Thread, yes.
Thread should not
to hold it all together.
Yeah.
And then this is, sorry, turn your head, Jeanette. I'm supposed to see you out. Notice this day. June of 2003. I left that date on the photograph. We were having good results back as early as 2002. And this is one of our prototypes that did real well. As Jeanette said, complete documentation. CPSC requires complete documentation. Well, mattress manufacturer, very perceptive of you, they're not manufacturers. They are fabricators. They just take the components, put them all together. And you got to imagine, this was a nightmare for these guys when they realized what the government was telling them they had to do. Not asking them, telling them what they had to do. So what did they do? They shifted a whole lot of that burden over to the supplier. And thank goodness, when my owners told me, said, you're going to become an ISO 9000 company, I said, why? Where's the payback? And because they hold me accountable for bottom line, wonder where the payback was. The payback really came when this regulation came into being, because we already had systems in place that proved that we did what we said we were doing. One of the things that we do, we have to give a certificate of analysis to prove that whatever our product was doing, when you put it in your mattress, remember this is a full mattress burn. We don't build a mattress. There is really no standard that applies to the barrier. Steve and I both sat on the committee that tried to come up with index testing that the mattress guys could use in their factories when the barrier came in. That was kind of like herding cats. Nobody wanted to get together on it. So we developed some test procedures ourselves that we do all during our production at regular intervals, and we keep record keeping. We've got an archive of records for years. And we supply this to our customers and to prove that the product does what we say it does. This is actually the original TB117 test that was developed for furniture. And you can see this is how high your plane is supposed to be, inch and a half high. Well, we moved it to an 8-inch plane, and we expose the specimen to it for 15 seconds, and then that's what we typically always see.
This is your FR barrier.
That's our FR barrier.
Yes. It can withstand. Yeah.
Yes.
And that's made out of 100% cotton.
No, we use low melt fiber to glue it all together.
Yeah.
But yes, the rest of the fiber is cotton.
But Kitty, that is a very small portion of low melt. I mean, yeah. You're talking
yes.
10 to 15% at
yes.
most.
So yes.
Low melt. Yeah.
It's 80% or more cotton.
Yes.
Any questions? Yeah, part bigger.
We actually, without giving a lot of proprietary information away, we have a facility
where we treat our cotton, and then we put it up in a 500-pound bale, just like a cotton gin bale, and then it goes to one of our other factories to be turned into this product.
Is that virgin? I'm sorry, is that virgin cotton, or what percentage?
Some of it is, some of it isn't. And again, I start giving away proprietary information. We do manufacture a grade that is all virgin cotton, with the exception of polyester low miles. We use regens in some of our grades. And in some, like the insulator pads, that 60 million pounds that I gave you, that includes insulator pads. Everything we use is cotton-based fiber, but it comes from, you know, post-industrial waste, no post-consumer waste, post-industrial waste, mill waste, post-ginning, gin moats, lint from the oil mills, regens, and virgin cotton.
Yeah, one of the points, Kenny, if I can jump in for a second, one of the points is in the mattress industry, you have to have all new material. You cannot build a mattress that has any post-consumer material in it. It has to be all new material. So that's the reason you can't use post-consumer waste cotton, which would be a lot cheaper than a lot of us would jump on that opportunity, but you can't use it in a mattress application because it has to be all new material. Sorry.
Industrial recycled is okay, I believe. So as long
industrial
as
recycle is fine, but nothing has been near consumer.
One of the things that I have challenged Dr. Parikh, and I'm going to address this kind of answers one of your questions. One of the things that we have found, we can make cotton and a barrier that does very well in the border of the mattress, the side of the mattress. That's the toughest portion of the mattress to protect. The reason it is because as that mattress burns, it begins to contort and twist, and cotton doesn't have any tenacity after it charts. So we have to make it so heavy to make a good border product, it's hard for the mattress manufacturer to get it all tape edged together, sewn together when he builds that bed. So we have incorporated the rayons with our cotton. We make blends and some 100% rayon that we're selling into the border application because you can make it in lighter weight. And when the inherent rayon chars, the mechanism that's in the vessel is silicic acid, sand, microscopic sand. You can explain this better than I. But it turns to fiberglass as it chars. And so you've got a matrix of fiber there that's like fiberglass, and it's got great tenacity. As that bed contorts in the test, you don't see the cracking with the rayon that you see with the cotton or the topically treated rayon. So that's one of the challenges to cotton. If you want the border business, we've got to develop some way of leaving some integrity, some tenacity there once it has charred, because it's almost like cigarette ash. It just doesn't do well. And on the panel, on the top, does a great job because you don't get the contortion on the panel that you get on the side of the bed. Plus the fact, when a mattress is put together, they put a little tension on the spring unit or the foam that's inside. And so you've got the pulling against it, which is, as it chars, it tends to pull and crack.
Kenny, I shall be showing you one of the ways in my presentation.
Okay.
So kindly stay.
Yes.
We have been working on blended fibers of FR cotton and VSL. So I will be showing you. Probably you may give me better ideas.
No, I'm anxiously awaiting that.
Yeah, kindly.
This is a new test procedure. This is TB117 that has been put on the shelf. The state of California decided they had too much going on with TB603. They had 117 in place. But we liked this test. The reason being is because the foam and the polyester test that was used as predecessors to this in California were easy for those products to pass. Basically, it was a no test. You didn't have to do anything to get it to pass. Cotton, you saw the 117, the old 117 test for cotton. We wanted them to go to this because it would level the playing field again for cotton. They didn't go to it, but we liked this test. So we use this test, again, as an index test for our production. You can see the specimen line here. We're using the original test called for a 50 milliliter flow of gas. I think this is showing 352, but basically we use a flow of 350 milliliters of gas. We got an 8-inch flame again, and we leave it on the specimen for 70 seconds for obvious reasons. You heard how long the flame has to be on the barrier on the mattress. And it's placed directly underneath it. That's the top of the specimen. You see that it gets really hot. This is the specimen afterwards. No cracking, and it totally self-extinguished as soon as the flame is taken away. This is another test. This was actually developed by the National Cotton Batting Institute. I sat on the committee that developed this thing, and this is a smolder ignition test. And this is much more harsh than 1632. It's a tough test. Again, the measurement is can't go over 1 inch out from the ash. And you take 7 ounces of cotton, split in the middle, 7 by 7 square, and you place a Pall Mall cigarette in the middle of it. And if it burns up, you fail. Or if you have over an inch of char away from the cigarette, you fail. Those are the three tests that we do in our production every day. In summary, cotton is a natural and renewable resource. We've talked about that. It's a natural char former. It's a very effective as a barrier. It's a natural insulator. It's very cost effective. And current technology means cotton-based non-woven products are very efficient in manufacturing processes. Thank you very much.